Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 83 for March 17th, 2007. Coming up in a few minutes.
And I just think the whole focus now really is coming back onto Bushmills. Like, we're making whiskey in the Bushmills area longer than anybody else. And I just think over the last number of years, we haven't got just desserts. And I was so thrilled. It kind of made a real leap in my heart.
That's Colm Egan, the distillery manager at Old Bushmills. And since it's St. Patrick's Day weekend, it's time for our annual look at Irish whiskies. But first, let's look at the news. William Grant & Sons is getting into the duty-free business. The owner of Glenfiddich, the Balvenie, and Grant's is planning to set up its own Collector's Corner duty-free shops in airports around the world. The Sunday Herald reports Grant is talking with BAA, which operates London's Heathrow Airport, about opening the first store in Heathrow's new Terminal 5 when it goes into operation next year. There it would compete with BAA's own World of Whiskey stores. At least seven other locations are planned for next year, including two in the UK, three in Asia, one in the Americas, and one in India. You'll find a link to the Sunday Herald article on the WhiskeyCast website. Blackwood Distillers is walking away from plans to build Shetland's first distillery at an old RAF base on Unst. The Shetland News says Blackwood's Caroline Whitfield made the decision after a dispute over terms with Britain's Military Assets Management Office. The original deal called for the government to build a complete distillery at the old Saxa Vord base and lease it to Blackwood, but that plan was changed to lease out the buildings and have Blackwood build the distillery on its own. Blackwood will go back to its original plans for a distillery at Catforth in South Nesting. Diageo is expanding its Singleton series of single malt scotches with a new entry for the U.S. market. The Singleton of Glendullen will go on sale in New Jersey and Illinois at first. Diageo also sells the Singleton of Dufftown in Europe and the Singleton of Glenord in Asia. Staying in the States for a minute, Jim Beam's bottling plant in Frankfort, Kentucky is getting a new manager. Jim Moorhead is being promoted from operations manager to take over for the retiring Pete Sobel. In addition to Jim Beam bourbon, the plant also bottles other Jim Beam products, including Canadian Club whiskey. The Kentucky Derby is just a few weeks away, and that always means special bottles for collectors. Diageo's Crown Royal sponsors the annual Crown Royal Festival in the Field on Derby weekend at Churchill Downs and is releasing a new series of 18,000 special Derby bottles featuring all of the previous 132 Derby winners on the boxes. Brown-Forman's Woodford Reserve serves as the official bourbon of the Kentucky Derby, and its commemorative bottles will be available in select markets as well. If you are planning to attend Whiskey Live Glasgow in September, you might want to change your travel plans. Last year's event drew more than 3,000 people to George Square, and that's prompted Whiskey Magazine to move this year's event to the Scottish Exhibition and Conference Center in Glasgow. The show will also be moved to the weekend of November 2nd and 3rd. The events calendar on the WhiskeyCast website has been updated. Finally, I mentioned several weeks ago that the Spirit of Toronto Festival has been resurrected and will be held May 12th. This past week, festival organizer Johanna Ngo emailed me about her plans for a special charity whiskey auction to honor veteran whiskey writer Michael Jackson. As you may have heard, Michael is fighting a battle with Parkinson's disease. I talked with him the other day.
With Parkinson's, the medication they give you tends to work well for 8 or 9 or 10 years, and it starts to lose its grip a little bit, so they've been trying other stuff with me. And when they're trying this other stuff, it's sometimes, you know, you're having different dosages and playing around with it a bit, and the problems of Parkinson's become a bit more evident, and that was really why I had to go public with it.
Joanna Ingo is trying to gather up 24 special bottles of whiskey for the auction, which will benefit the Parkinson Society of Canada. I've posted her note about the auction on the WhiskeyCast website, and you'll hear the entire interview with Michael Jackson on the next episode of WhiskeyCast. Other events coming up over the next few weeks. The first Taste DC Single Malt Scotch Festival is this Thursday in Washington. Lucerne, Switzerland hosts Whiskey Shift this coming weekend. Whiskey Messen is March 31st in Copenhagen. Whiskey Live New York is April 4th, followed by Malt Advocates Whiskey Fest in Chicago April 13th, and the Whiskies of the World Expo in San Francisco on the 14th. Of course, there's a complete calendar of events on the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. Irish whiskey really deserves more than just one show a year. It's one of the fastest growing segments of the whiskey business, even though there are only three distilleries in Ireland. Old Bushmills is the biggest, and it's getting even bigger. Diageo bought Bushmills from Pernod Ricard's Irish Distillers Division 2 years ago, as Pernod were shedding assets to get antitrust approval for the Allied Domecq takeover. Pernod held on to the Middleton Distillery, which produces Jameson, Powers, and several other brands. Diageo made Bushmills a priority. I sat down with distillery manager Colm Egan the other day in New York.
It's been a full year now since we last talked, and you've been working with Diageo now for the full year. How have things changed for you guys at the distillery?
You know, it really is fantastic. When we spoke a year ago, I spoke about our optimism about the year ahead that was ahead, but I suppose it's come true now. We've doubled our output, so at the moment we were around about 1.5 million litres of alcohol, now we're up to over 3 million. And the future is looking to even increase that even further. Now, how that converts themselves into actually case products being sold also is coming true for us. So we're one of the most fastest growing whiskies now on the market. So Bushmills, I think, is getting its right place in the world of whiskies, having been, I suppose, neglected in terms of marketing, in terms of exposure for a long number of years. But the whiskey itself, the quality of whiskey, I think, will show true now, given that, as I say, if I can get people to taste Bushmills, they'll drink it.
What other changes have you seen over the past year other than you're traveling a lot more over here?
Yeah, I think it's just fantastic, because now when I go to pubs, I was in Chicago just last week, and it was amazing, the signage, the amount of people actually drinking Bushmills. Going to pubs now, they have a lot of Bushmills memorabilia. There's a lot of signage and exterior walls on buildings, and I just think the whole focus now really is coming back onto Bushmills. Like, we're making whiskey in the Bushmills area longer than anybody else, and I just think over the last number of years we haven't got our just desserts, and I was so thrilled. It kind of made a real leap in my heart, and I've got some pictures. I can't really wait to go back and show them in the distillery what's actually happening on the ground, because obviously we hear it through the grapevine, we hear it through email in terms of the Diageo networks, but to actually see it on the ground in place working, it's just phenomenal.
Now, any new developments on the whiskey front? Are you going to come out with anything new or different or unusual?
Yeah, well, as a distiller, you're really always innovating, so you're always trying to anticipate future trends and future needs. But at the moment, we're really focusing on the five main Bushmills brands. That's the original, the Black Bush, 10-year-old single malt, the 16 and 21-year-old single malt. And now, obviously, with next year and our 400-year celebrations coming up, we do have a number of possibilities. What we've done at the moment is just thrown all the ideas into one big bag, kind of a brainstorming session. And we're going to pick out the best ideas from there, and we're going to use it. Now, I do have the whiskey, so we have the aged whiskey and some kind of neat innovations, but we haven't actually put them in a package yet. We haven't really finished on how we're finally going to deliver it and see what the customer's going to see.
And I was about to get to the 400th anniversary, because you guys are getting ready for essentially what is a full year of celebrations next year, right?
Yeah, it's really going to be a fun time, and we're going to have huge major events. Again, I can't really disclose too much about them in that but they are finalizing in detail. April 2008, that's the actual anniversary day in itself, but we're going to plan celebration really right away throughout the year, as you say, and even the village itself of Bushmills, we're really planning to do several celebrations, several unusual and different occasions, I suppose. And I think people would be quite surprised with what we've planned.
Now, I have to play devil's advocate for a second here, because the point has been made that the Bushmills itself has not been in existence for all 400 of those years, but it's an anniversary of distilling in the area around Bushmills. How do you guys square all this? Because I know there are some people who are saying that it will, for lack of a better term, maybe a bit of blarney or marketing gimmick. What would you guys say to that?
The fact is that in 1608 the Bushmills area called the Rout, so it's within about a 10 mile radius of Bushmills distillery itself, and there has been this license to distill to a Sir Thomas Phillips. So really what we've always said under our Diageo days is that really we've been distilling in this area for longer than anybody else. We have always stated that we're the oldest distillery in Ireland. So really what we're going to use the 400th anniversary is really to celebrate the whole tradition of distilling whiskey in this area. I think really the area around Bushmills is really known as the cradle of distillation, in that if you go to Islay and Bushmills area itself, really that is the birthplace of whiskey. So as that is continued, that's really the home of whiskey, I would say. And I suppose one of the unusual factors, even though it's the cradle of distillation and the cradle of the whole art of distillation, if you go, our nearest distillery in Bushmills is Lagavulin, and you couldn't be more different in terms of styles of whiskey. And yet, both can be enjoyed by thousands of people all over the world.
Fair enough. I had to ask the question because there are those who would argue that Kilbeggan is the oldest actual physical distillery in existence in Ireland, but I want to make sure that we get that clarified. Anything else you can add I'm forgetting about here?
Well, really, there's only three distilleries in operation at the moment in Ireland. We have the Bushmills Distillery, which has been in operation for hundreds of years. Middleton Distillery was built in the 1980s. And Middleton was in the 1970s and Cooley in the 1980s. So that's fact. So just to clarify that point, there's no problem at all. Let's not get hung up on age, let's not get who's the oldest perhaps. We know we're the oldest the distillery in Ireland. We know we've a great distilling tradition. But really it's what's in the bottle that's important. Really it's what's the taste in the bottle that's important.
Cooley Distillery has always been the little guy in Irish whiskey. It's celebrating 20 years in business this year and was the only competition for Irish distillers for many years. Now Cooley is coming into its own, taking 3 out of 4 Irish Whiskey Awards in Whiskey Magazine's Icons of Whiskey competition this year. John Teeling founded Cooley in 1987, and his son Jack is now moving into management.
It's been a big year on a couple of fronts. We turned 20 this year. We were set up in 1987, so from a court point of view, it's a landmark in its own, but one or two of the other distilleries that we took over when we first set up have big years this year, and in particular, it's the old Kilbeggan Distillery, which dates back to 1757, which is celebrating its 250th anniversary, where most of the excitement is this year. Because it's such a big landmark, we decided to do one or two things, and in particular, to help in, let's say, the rejuvenation of the brand and of the distillery that's down there, we decided that we would take the next step and actually start distilling on site in the old Kilbeggan Distillery. For people that wouldn't know, we've matured majority of our whiskies in the old warehouses in Kilbeggan. We've operated the old distillery as a museum. And it's like a step back in time in that we have all the machineries that were there in the 1700s, 1800s. And it's operational. The old steam engine still works and so forth. So it's a very interesting experience for people to go and see. But now that we're actually doing some distilling on site, I think it's a step forward in the right direction for Kilbeggan and for maybe the whole Irish whiskey category in general.
And I know the plan is to start firing that distillery up next week, right?
Yeah, it's actually... We picked a date. We picked March the 19th because it's as far as we can see from the records, that's the day that the still stopped over 50 years ago. So, the distilling stopped back in March the 19th, 1957, just due to the general industry malaise that was going on at that time in the Irish whiskey industry. But the license was held and it was maintained up until this day. So we didn't have to apply for a new distilling license. We just put the still in, obviously make sure that there's no environmental issues or anything like that. It's just been very easy for us to get this back up and running. That's in part because the front end is done up in Cooley and, it's just actual pot distillation is done in Kilbeggan.
And I think, is it fair to say that the other big development for you guys this year was the success with the Michael Collins whiskey?
Well, Michael Collins has been a success for us up to now. I'm sure it's still early days in the view of Sidney Frank. It's just that we're very lucky to have such a good partner in Sidney Frank. They know what they're doing a lot more than we do, especially for the US market. They have such a good route to market. They have a good infrastructure and some very smart marketing people. And, you know, while it's still early days, it's good signs it's going to be a success for both companies.
I know they've told me they expect to do 50,000 cases this coming year.
Well, you know, we'll be happy if that happens. Like, you know, we've obviously had the discussions on our budgets and so forth, but we will know more throughout the year as depletions come through. But I think we're both happy of where we are at this stage. So you know, it does take time to build up a brand, but given the infrastructure they have, they can do it a lot quicker than most other people.
Now, the other development really this year was really with Green Ore, correct?
Yeah, Green Ore is a very interesting product, and it's something that we've been forced to do rather than, let's say, great vision from a high. The liquid itself has been, you know, of high quality, and we've had it in, let's say, not the best packaging. And it was really just kind of in our portfolio. We sold bits and bobs here, but there was one or two people in particular, Jim Murray, you know, who consistently said very good things about our grain whiskey. And, you know, one or two other distributors came on to us and said, look, we want this. We can't sell it in the current packaging. Let's try and rework it, get it into something that's more reflective of the quality of the whiskey, and see how it gets on. And it's really gone from there. And from a standing start last year, when we got the product into some of our markets, you know, it sold a lot more than we expected. And we haven't put much support behind it. It's really been just the word of mouth and people seeing it on the shelf and trying it and then really liking the whiskey. So you know, single grain whiskey is very hard to get and very hard to get, in my opinion, a good one. And we're very lucky that our grain distillery produces such a flavorsome whiskey, and obviously maturing in the single-use bourbon cask imparts some of that extra vanilla essence onto it. So we're finding it really does appeal to bourbon drinkers that are out there.
Now, we've done a lot of talking about the past year. What's in the year ahead for
Cooley? Doing one or two other things on some of our other brands. I think it's the way the industry is going, in particular on single malt, is different type of experimental wood finishes. We're doing that at the moment with our Tyrconnell. 10-year-old Tyrconnell, we've done some small bottlings of port, Madeira, and sherry finishes, which have come out very, very well. And we're doing, let's say, a slightly larger bottling now, which will be available into some select markets around the world. But, you know, we'll be limited to around 20 casks of each one. And once we go through these, we will try one or two other things around the 10-year-old variety. And it's very interesting, and the response that we've got from people has been very, very positive. That's for Tyrconnell. For Kilbeggan, what we're trying to do is, you know, to mark the anniversary. Okay, we're starting up distilling, but we want to bring out a product to show how good the whiskey coming from the old Kilbeggan distillery and let's say whiskey, or let's say from Cooley, a spirit turns up in Kilbeggan, the Kilbeggan warehouse, and whiskey actually leaves. So it's actually where we like to say that the whiskey is actually made, is actually in the old Kilbeggan distillery. And obviously when we're distilling on site now, it will be made from front to end there. But to celebrate the 250th anniversary, we're releasing a 15-year-old Kilbeggan bottling, which is a very, very nice whiskey. I have the pleasure to decide on the blend of malt and grain, and you know, I think we've hit on something that's very, very nice. It's going to come in a super premium packaging, limited to probably around 2,000 bottles. So it will be hard to get your hands onto it, but if you do, it's well worth the effort. That's for Kilbeggan. For Green Ore, we will be bringing out, last year we brought out the 8-year-old. For markets that already have the 8-year-old, we'll be releasing a 10-year-old expression of that, just to see how the wood interacts with the whiskey the older we actually get. And going forward, there will be older ages as well. So there's plenty going on.
Connemara, what about with Connemara?
This year we're looking at one or two different things. We are looking at just experimenting on one or two finishes on that as well. We're talking about perhaps developing a stronger peated version, but obviously we would distill this now, and it would take another 4 years before this would be out in the market. But, you know, we're looking at different things in regard to that, and trying to bed in into some markets, because the 12-year-old in the cast rent has only recently gone into some markets. We're bedding down the family, and, you know, just for a couple of select stores, we've done some single cast bottlings.
Now, I have to ask, with Kilbeggan celebrating the 250th anniversary this year, what's your take on that little celebration planned a little further north?
I'm going to get myself into trouble. A lot of people have been asking me about this, and I suppose it's interesting for consumers to know really kind of the background behind Kilbeggan, the Old Kilbeggan Distillery, and the Old Bushmills Distillery. The Old Bushmills Distillery, well, they have on their bottle 1608. That is the date of when they got that region of Ireland got a license to distill. But the distillery itself that is actually there at the moment was set up after the Kilbeggan Distillery. So, you know, I think they actually do say that in a way, but sometimes the message you could do to the consumer can get lost. So Kilbeggan is the oldest physically licensed distillery in the world, while the Old Bushmills has the oldest license to distill for a region in the world. You know, the subtle differences, but you know, it's just getting pedantic in a way. But I think it's important that consumers know, in particular for our brand Kilbeggan, because it's not that well known out there about how strong the heritage is and the history behind it, and the fact that it does come from the oldest licensed distillery in the world. So I like the opportunity to tell people that, and I'll thank you, Mark, for bringing up that question.
You'll curse me later for it too, I'm sure.
But no, it's a great occasion for Irish whiskey in general, and the fact that we have two distilleries with such rich heritage and history, I think it's a benefit rather than something that we should be scribbling and fighting over.
By the way, Irish whiskey is known for its lack of peat, but if you've ever wondered what a peaty Irish whiskey tastes like, Connemara holds up very well against the peat monsters from Islay. That's all for this episode of Whiskey Cast. Of course, I'd love to hear from you. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. Thanks to those of you who have emailed me recently, including Carl Kepke, who says he burns episodes to a CD for his older brother. Also, thanks to those of you who have posted comments recently on the WhiskeyCast page at the iTunes Music Store. Those comments help the iTunes editors decide which shows are popular and deserve more exposure, and that helps more people discover WhiskeyCast. Don't forget next week's interview with Michael Jackson. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2007, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.